When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Amen. God's word before us this morning, as I alluded to before introducing the gospel, is from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. Those of you who like to follow along will find this on page 718 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the prophecy of Isaiah. And we pray. Our dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Amen. Isaiah asked God, what am I to say? God didn't answer him, go and tell people that they are created in my image. Go and tell them how to meet their full potential. Go and tell them that they can do whatever they set their minds to. They'll eat that up. No. God said to Isaiah, here's what I want you to say. All people are like grass, dry, dusty, dead grass. Why would God do that? Why would this be the message that God gave Isaiah to proclaim to his people? Now, the people to whom Isaiah was to speak were an arrogant and obstinate people. They thought that because they were the chosen people of God, they could never fall. God had sent the powerful Assyrians from the north down to devastate the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and now the 2 southern tribes of Judah were on the verge of being decimated themselves. And so their king, Hezekiah, offered up a prayer of deliverance to God. And amazingly, the very next day, the angel of the Lord put to death in one night 185,000 soldiers in the Assyrian army. You would think that the people would be led to repent of their sins after such a close brush with death. But no, they thought they were invincible. They figured that no matter what they did or how they lived their lives, God would never abandon them. Sad to say, you and I today live in a similar age of arrogance and stubbornness, especially when it comes to the fields of science and medicine. There are those who say that because we can now read DNA, the day isn't that far off when we'll be able to predict and prevent all disease and sickness. They are wrong. Arrogantly wrong. This is the arrogance of self-sufficiency, the arrogance of stubbornly trying to live God, while at the same time ignoring God. Neither listening to him as he speaks in his word, nor calling on him in prayer. It's really living as if there were no final judgment. Isaiah's message to us today is all people are like grass. That's a humbling message. One that really forces us to do some self-examination and to listen honestly to what God tells us in his word. As we continue our Advent series on what the world needs now, we pause today to thank God that he's honest enough with us when he tells us, you are like grass. I call this the withering wind of the law. And it's this withering wind of the law that leads us to appreciate the gentle whisper of the gospel. I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself, but it sometimes seems so devastating when we're faced with the brevity of life. Youngsters, for example, come down with some serious sickness and all of a sudden they die. Classmates and friends get killed in auto accidents and from drug overdoses and we're shocked. How often haven't we heard it said, and maybe we even say it ourselves, no parent should ever have to bury a child. Now, in a sense, that's what's happening to Hezekiah just before the events of our text this morning. God had revealed to Hezekiah that the sickness which he had would not be healed, that Hezekiah would die from this sickness. And these are the words of Hezekiah's lament. I guess we don't have. Oh, there they are. Okay. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn. But like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. You see, Hezekiah thought he was too young to die. Hezekiah was really in the prime of his life. In addition to that, he had done a whole lot for God, and he wanted to do a whole lot more. Isn't that always the problem with life? There's never enough time. We regret the things that we didn't do or the things that we did do. There's never enough time to accomplish all the things that we want to accomplish. We never seem to reach the end where we can check the last item off our bucket list. We don't want to think about death, but only about what we're going to do today. Very harshly, God speaks to us through Isaiah today and says, you are like grass, here today and gone tomorrow. Think about grass. It's such a fickle thing, isn't it? It doesn't take long for grass to wither up and die. A couple of summer weeks of no rain, some scorching temperatures and a steady wind from the south, and that grass dries out quickly. That's kind of what it's like living in a world of sin and death, and that really is sad. I joked as I introduced the service this morning by calling you folks the geriatric crowd, and I'm right there with you. I don't mean that negatively in any way. But for most of us, the really cherished moments in life came a long time ago, in the prime of our lives. When we were confirmed, when we graduated from various institutions, when we got married, our honeymoon, perhaps days of achievement, whether it was artistic or athletic. What do we have now? We've got pictures, and we've got memories. But now we have special clothing that hides various parts of our body. We cover up our wrinkles with makeup and we color our hair. We're wearing contacts or glasses, hearing aids, orthotics, dentures. The loveliness that once characterized our life is like the grass and flowers of the field. And maybe more importantly is, why does all of that happen? Isaiah says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, note this, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. In the Hebrew, the word for breath or breathing is ruach. It's the same word that God uses for himself as the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, don't we tend to think of life? Of God's life-giving Spirit? Think back to the Garden of Eden. God creates Adam out of the dust of the earth, and what does the scripture say? But he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became what? A living being. Think of the New Testament. Jesus is giving his ministry or use of the keys to his disciples, that special power and right to retain or forgive the sins of others. And John says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." God is a life-giving spirit, but the same God who gives life also puts to death. Listen to what he says. There is no God beside me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand. God wants us to know that he authors both life and death. Death isn't just some random occurrence that takes place in a world of sin. Death is something under God's power, and it's always used for God's purpose. Now, why is that so important for us to know? It's because our sinful nature wants to ignore the fact of death and cover it up. While it's commendable to practice good health and take care of our body, it's easy to reach a point in life where we're in denial over what's happening to our bodies and even be angry about it. How many men go out and buy expensive cars and get involved in extramarital affairs because of what we call the midlife crisis? How many women get depressed because their looks change and they no longer feel any worth because they don't look the way they used to? Some who should be caring for children at home choose instead to party and act like idiots, even though they're in their mid-30s and mid-40s. They just refuse to grow up. And some exercise religiously and do all they can to hide their age because they don't want to face the inevitable fact that they're getting old. The Holy Spirit is breathing on us today. He's saying, you are grass, dry, dusty, dead grass. You can fight it. You can get angry with God about it. You can shake your fist at him if you want, but you're not going to change the fact that you're getting old. You're fading, and you're dying. That's the hot and withering wind of God's law, which leads us to the whispering wind of the gospel. Listen to Isaiah as he listens to God. Comfort, comfort my people, God tells him. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God doesn't want his people to be looking inward and downward, but rather upward and outward. The Holy Spirit is breathing on us today, and he's doing so harshly. Not so that we despair, not so that we go looking for some shaky and temporary shelter in the midst of the brevity of life, but that we find a permanent and eternal shelter from the hot, withering wind of the law. Most of you are familiar with Elijah, I'm sure. Elijah was a prophet of God who didn't want to be a prophet anymore. He went running from God. He hid himself in a cave, thinking he was the only one of all God's people left. God came to him in that cave and revealed himself to Elijah as a gentle whisper. God spoke tenderly, quietly to Elijah and assured him that he wasn't alone. That really is the way of the Spirit. He blows on us with the withering wind of the law so that we seek a permanent and eternal shelter in the midst of life's brevity. The grass withers and the flowers fall, Isaiah tells us, but the word of our God endures forever. It may have taken 700 years for God to fulfill the prophecy of our text, but his word stood firm. And that prophecy was fulfilled. John the Baptist did come, and he did prepare the way for the Lord in the people's path. My friends, that really is the wonderful thing about God's word. It reveals how fervently faithful God is to all of his promises. Moses says, "A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Paul the Apostle says, "If we are faithless, which we are, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Every single thing God has promised on the pages of this book either has happened or it will come to be. And that's partly what we celebrate during the season of Advent. God promised that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and that happened. God promised that his son would be born in the little town of Bethlehem, and he was. God promised that he would grow up to be a man, live a life of perfection to God's law, and then suffer and die for the sins of the world, and he did. God promised that his tomb could not hold him, that he would rise from the dead on day number three, and that's what happened. God is faithful to all of his promises, past, present, and future. And in all of this, Jesus was what I call an eternal lightning rod. Jesus was the rod that caught the lightning of God's righteous anger and wrath over our sins, and Jesus paid for them all. You know the words of John. Let's say them together. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Over and again, from Genesis to Malachi and from Matthew to Revelation, God's word points us to Jesus. When Isaiah said that the word of our God endures forever, he was pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is meant to be the anchor of all time, the only one through whom all people of all time can find their permanent, their eternal shelter in the midst of the brevity of life. That's why we love to sing these words. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In Jesus Christ, God has given us a permanent shelter that can withstand the hot and withering wind of the law. It really is ironic, I believe, that as the Holy Spirit breathes death on us from the outside, he's breathing life into us from the inside. The two go hand in hand. Were it not for the one, the withering law, wind of the law, we would not seek the other, the comforting and gentle whisper of the gospel. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You can always rely on the words and promises of your God, for they stand firm. There is only one permanent shelter in every high and stormy gale, and that is Jesus Christ. It is my prayer today that that hot, withering wind of the law lead all of us to recognize our mortality and our sin and repent of that. And then in faith embrace and appreciate the gentle whisper of the gospel that in Jesus we are redeemed and restored and forgiven. What the world needs now is love. And it's God's love that not only prescribes the solution, but also provides it in Jesus. He is our eternal shelter. Amen.